Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 22 of the Low Carb Universe show.
Woohoo! And for the first time, it is also a video. So yes, you can look at it, watch it on YouTube and see our funny facial expressions to what we say. So,
yeah, and anyway, of course, we have it with just the audio as well, if you don't want to see us.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, so, yes.
Today, we'll talk about difficulties when starting on keto or low carb, how we've solved them, the problems we've had, or things like that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. The way I look today, because it's a video, of course, and I'm preparing to go to Majorca.
Yes.
So I thought I'm trying to come into Majorca mode. I don't look like this every day, not even down in Majorca, but yeah, I just fell for it. Yeah. Now I'm finished.
So, Bitte, what difficulties did you have going low carb?
I just let go of all the former knowledge I've had, so I had when started for personally, and I had no problems adapting to this way of eating. And I love the butter and the cream and the meat and the veggies and everything. But the most difficult thing actually was my family, to make them realize that this is a very healthy way of eating.
Yeah, and that it's sustainable.
Yes, and I had to convince them that I wasn't going to die.
That is a big point, though.
Yes.
It's quite important, both for them and for you. So.
Yes, it is. And I promised to do regular health checks and things like that. And actually, after almost 10 years, my family isn't into the same diet as I am. But they eat better than average normal people, because we eat a lot of veggies instead of pasta, and potato they eat maybe once or twice a month instead of three times a week as they did before. So
when you go low carb, even if you don't inspire people to follow exactly the same, well, no one should follow exactly the same, but to follow fully low carb, you at least inspire people to eat better around you. So yeah, I think that's a really important point.
And I think that being a role model, not nagging people and arguing, or just showing them that you get healthy and beautiful
and happy
and that kind of thing. So make them eat more like you by being a good role model.
Yeah, leading by example. Yeah. And I think that's important. Yeah.
How was your start? But maybe was it more difficult to get people around you to understand, because you were diabetic and you need carbs?
That has definitely been a challenge. But in the beginning, I was my biggest challenge, for sure, because I didn't think I would see the results that I did, and because I did it so gradually. So, as you may know, I started off with a very liberal paleo approach, from sort of high carbing to liberal paleo. And then from there, I've gone like step by step until now, really like keto. So it's not, I didn't go just overnight and be like, I no longer eat pasta. But I rather took it step by step. And there, throughout that journey, I have been my biggest challenge. And yes, people around me have been too, of course, and especially when I tell a dietitian that I eat, how much butter I eat, or that I eat bacon, they have a smaller heart attack, not caused by said butter or bacon, but because, you know, I don't do what they tell me to do. And so I can't say that I had any, because I did it so gradually, I didn't have any of the classic starter problems like keto flu, or keto rash, or, you know, all of these things that one may or may not experience when you go low carb overnight. But it was more of a mental challenge for me.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. And other difficulties, like You travel a lot nowadays, and did you travel a lot when starting on this diet as well?
I've always traveled a fair bit, so I didn't travel at all as much as I do right now, of course. No. But of course I did, and it is a bit of trial and error to find things on the road and when you're not in your home environment that works for you. But it is also an exciting challenge because you know how much you can do for your health if you keep it up and don't just fall for temptation and be like, I'm on holiday. I'm not going to keep to my diet, because it's not a diet. It is a lifestyle.
A lifestyle
you also keep up on holidays.
Yes.
But the other, of course, big problem I had is because I didn't have help from anyone. I didn't have a coach. I didn't have a nutritionist. No, I didn't know anyone who was really doing low carb when I started. That has all come afterwards. And I love my keto low carb family. And they are amazing, this whole community. But in the beginning, I didn't have any of them. And so I, of course, didn't realize how much my insulin needs would go down. So I got myself into some very... sticky situations in terms of, taking too much insulin for what I needed. And but that was a steep learning curve. I learned very quickly that, look at that, you need less insulin. Good.
Yeah. I was lucky enough living in Sweden. The sort of the origin of low carb, high fat. So we had like forums and we had blogs. A lot of blogs, for example, The Diet Doctor had started. Yeah. So I could get a lot of support and get a lot of information. So I think it was easier for me in that way because as I said before, I read a lot and I read books and blogs and everything because I was so afraid of doing this. Turning over to this lifestyle, but once I did it,
I've never looked back.
Absolutely.
And I don't think even if there would be some studies come out and say keto is really bad for you or something, I still don't think I would change, because just judging by how much energy I have and how well I feel.
Exactly.
Eating very low carbs in comparison to how it's a terrible feeling. Terrible.
Yeah. When it comes to traveling, I've been out traveling quite a lot myself. And it can be quite challenging depending on where you are.
Yeah.
Because if you are like in these really tourism places, with menus with pictures of the food, and it's all very often it's pasta and pizzas and French fries and
a mountain of French fries.
Yeah, and something I really like when I travel, it's buffets.
Yeah,
because there you always can find the right stuff to eat.
Yeah,
but it can also be a trap.
Because they can.
You can eat too much, even if you eat healthy food.
Yeah.
But it's also very easy to, the dessert table looks yummy. Just a small
dessert
or something. The most simple way is to decide to keep on track.
Of course. And then there is one of the things that I started with in the beginning, especially when I went out to restaurants or traveling or something. It was, take whatever comes with pasta, potatoes, polenta, rice, all of these things, and just don't eat the carbs. That even works perfectly fine with a sandwich and a pickle, but in a pinch, because, for example, on certain airlines, you only get sandwiches for snacks, or they only have sandwiches, and then fine, you take the stupid sandwich, and then you just pick out the good bits, at least. Unless they have cheese and chutney in it, which is maybe not the best combination. But at least then you skip the wheat, which is a big problem for me.
Exactly, yeah. But the one thing that is really unique with low carb And that is that you can skip a meal and you won't die.
You can.
Because the blood sugar isn't up there and you don't have to eat anything when it goes down. So you're on this very nice level all the time. So if you skip a meal and you feel a little hungry, not a banana.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, no, that is a really good point. But also for a lot of people, fasting like that, and especially if they're forced into... let me start over with that. Fasting for many is a very mental game rather than a physical game.
Exactly.
So if they get sort of pushed into fasting on a moment's notice, that they're like, oh crap, I'm actually hungry. Well, I should be eating now. And there's nothing for me to eat. They can't get to that point of not eating because they're already so like prepared for it.
Yeah, exactly. So,
I think you need some fasting exercise before you try that.
Yes, yes. But if you are forced into that situation, there's nothing to eat. It's only like wheat and gluten and garbage and everything. Try to rest assured in the fact that you will survive until a proper meal. When you're out traveling, it's very easy when you're at a hotel. Make sure, if you're not sure where you're going to have lunch, have a proper breakfast with bacon and eggs and vegetables. You will manage up until afternoon on a breakfast like that.
Absolutely. So, and that's one of my tricks, actually, when we stay at hotels and the breakfast is included, then I actually go and have the included breakfast that I've already paid for.
Yeah.
And then actually rather skip lunch and then have dinner again.
Yeah.
So it's not much money. Like in most countries, it's really not a lot of money, but somehow it makes a difference for me. I don't know.
One thing you can actually bring in your handbag. I did it the first year as I was out traveling, a small bottle filled with coconut oil.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, because if you really start to get hungry and you can't find a nice place to eat proper food, you can always go into a coffee shop, order some coffee or tea, and you have put a little coconut oil in that, and you will notice that your tummy
will be fine.
You'll be fine. Yes.
Yeah, but this wasn't about traveling. This was about challenges.
yes. But if you're some few advices.
Yes, but it's true. I mean, summer is traveling season, so why not?
It is, yeah. And we always work. But some people have problems in their workplaces.
Yeah.
When it comes to the lunch break, and people say, oh, are you going to eat eggs? You can't eat eggs. That's dangerous.
When are you going to stop eating this?
Yes, and this is whatever kind of diet you do to lose weight. If you start to lose weight and they notice it and they say, oh, you're looking so slim now. Now you need to stop doing that. And you think, okay, I got like 7-8 kilos left to go to be normal. And they are just jealous.
Of course.
So
that's most of it.
Those people saying that. But going back to the lunchroom.
Lunchroom
in the workplace. I've heard that throughout the years, I've heard a lot of people saying that that's a really hard time for them.
Yeah.
Because people ask them and say, you know, you shouldn't be eating all that butter, all that fat, and that looks disgusting, yada, yada, yada.
And even worse, especially in Sweden, I've worked in a couple of countries, but I've never seen it as much as in Sweden, is the frickin' cakes that are brought into the office.
The fiesta.
Like we sell them. No, that is fine. A coffee break is cool. We can deal with that. But the frickin' cakes that are brought in for everything. Oh, it's someone's name's day. Oh, my dog just took a poop this morning. Let's have a celebration. Like, I don't understand. What the frick do the cakes come from?
Yeah. Yeah, and when maybe a customer or a retailer comes to visit your office,
yeah,
they
often cake,
bring the cake, cookies, and yeah, I don't know, and you just have to. I can say like this: it is easier not to eat when you're a low carber, because yeah, I've been a Weight Watcher for many years. And when I saw those plates filled with cookies and buns and nice stuff, I couldn't resist it.
I was, of course, because your body wasn't nourished.
Exactly, half a bun. And I can't leave that poor little leftover half bun. I need to eat that as well. So it's easier to resist.
Yeah.
It is easier to resist when you're on low carb, because you eat to... you're full. You're not hungry.
That, and also you realize after a while that it is much easier to do low carb 100% full out at all times, rather than dabbling between doing for low carb. I think the 80-20 rule, it works for some, but for most people it's completely ridiculous, because those 20% easily become the 80%.
Exactly.
So easily, because so many of us are so addicted to different foods, sugars, wheat, all of these things that are designed to be addictive nowadays.
And if you, another way of looking at this alienation in the lunchrooms at offices and workplaces, is that you can feel like you're not in the group. You're an outsider, and maybe no one says anything about what you eat or what you not eat, but it can be tough for some people to feel that they are like something else.
Yeah,
you're not the normal guy,
which is still the case. But I think in the next couple of years, especially in Sweden, it's going to change hugely, because there is such a big community of low carbers, especially in Sweden, but also elsewhere in the world. Yeah. And I think that slowly but surely, you know, this little grassroots movement is going to be like plopping up everywhere. And so even at your office.
Exactly. I think. And even if people aren't fully low carb, there is a new consciousness about sugars and wheat.
Yeah, there's a new awareness, and we're very thankful for that.
This problem will self-resolve or something in a few years. So, and when you are in doubt, or you feel like, oh, I need to do this or that so they will see that I'm a normal human being. So just try to think about all the advantages you get from eating low carb, eating real food. And remember, try to feel how you feel inside and the energy, how you sleep, maybe you lost weight, and compared to your former life when you ate those buns and potatoes and pastas and everything. Try to strengthen yourself, convince yourself.
Absolutely. That's a point that I think a lot of people miss when they start keto or low carb. It's this whole mental part of having to, it's not just about what you eat, it's how you handle situations, it's how you react to situations, it's how you react to comments and all of these things that you might not have in mind when you think, oh, I can eat bacon, that's awesome. You know, it's just maybe something that needs to be reminded of.
I think so. And be a bit egoistic. Don't think
it's allowed.
Yes, it's allowed. And it's a necessity, actually.
It is.
Everyone should be forced to learn to be a bit egoistic.
Yeah.
Because there's a sound way of being egoistic and doing what's best for you and your health and well-being. You do that. And don't care about the rest.
Yeah, and that leads me excellently into the next point, which is just stop giving a poop about what other people think. It's just not worth it. Why? Yeah. ask yourself this question. Why should you be unhealthier than you are right now? Because Maggie over in claims thinks that your food looks disgusting.
Yeah.
That is insanity.
Yeah. And you can make it a life goal also to annoy
to piss off Maggie.
Possible with your food. Look here today. What I got.
Look how much cheese there's on there. Take that, Maggie. Yeah.
If you have any problems and need support, try to find a Facebook group.
Yes.
Because that is really very, very helpful to many people. Because you can go in when you are traveling and you feel like, oh God, I so want to eat that pizza or pasta when being in Italy. Mm-hmm. And then you can go into the group and say, help me! Help me! I'm soon to be eating pasta. Help me to avoid it.
Exactly.
And people will rush to your help.
Yeah, so, absolutely. Yeah. They're great. They're fantastic. Yeah. And you also get different, because there's so many people in there, you also get different viewpoints all the time, which is also really nice. Or you can, of course, try to find a low-carb coach.
Exactly.
Which you and I have been very helpful, but other people are still very helpful in terms of coaching. So that can really, really help you, and also to help you through the mental parts, as we mentioned, but also... Actually, this is an interesting question. What would be your tip for if someone asks you, God, I just started, they didn't call you God, but you know, anyway, God, I just started keto and you know, my whole body is like full of keto rash. What should I do?
Yeah.
What's your advice?
Ah, okay. I thought you were going to mention it yourself.
No.
Many times it actually can help to increase the carb intake.
Yeah.
But that should be carbs from vegetables and not from chocolate bars or buns or things like that. Because you can increase the intake of maybe eat some root.
Yeah, root vegetables. Yeah.
Root vegetables, because they have a slightly higher carbs.
Yeah, so, keto rash can really be a sign that you lowered your carbs too quickly.
Too quickly, yeah.
And your body is...
Or too much, actually.
Yeah, or too much. Yeah. And your body is detoxing like a crazy thing from all the stuff that you have been eating recently. Yeah. And especially, you know, some people have this when they start something new, they're like, this is my last feast of, you know, amazing food that you think is amazing back then. Mm-hmm. With, you know, cakes and buns and pizzas and breads and all of these things. Let me just get in there and like really eat all of it. And then, of course, if you go keto the next day, your body's going to be like, what the heck is this? What do you mean butter? This is weird. Butter? What is butter?
And one other good thing is that I, after being low carb for about a year, I was thinking that I could eat bread. A really nice rye bread, sourdough, handmade with love in a local bakery. And I got so sick.
Yeah.
So have in mind that if you've been low-carb for a while, if you add something, if you eat something that you've been avoiding for a time, let me tell you,
It can go wrong.
You don't want to do it again if you get as sick as I did.
No.
So I never eat bread.
Yeah.
Never ever.
No, me neither.
So, and I don't miss it.
No, it's true. I don't either.
And I was like a sandwich woman. Yeah. Sandwiches. Easy and quick, you know.
Addict.
Yeah, you say.
Also, just quickly, the cure, of course, for the keto flu, these are basically the two most common starter complications of keto. It's keto rash and keto flu. And for keto flu, it's really, really important that you get in all the electrolytes. So magnesium, potassium, you know, all of these things, lots of sea salt, lots of water. My usual tip for that is when people come to me and say that, I'm like, well, make a margarita. They're like, what? That is so cool. I'm like, no, no. Listen. So basically take half a lemon and then add a good pinch or two of sea salt to it, fill it up with water, drink it, enjoy it, and you will feel better within minutes.
Yes, it actually, and if you're, if someone normal should be listening to this, I can tell you.
I don't think anyone is normal who listens to this.
No, but that drink is perfect when you're in a hotter place. Because sometimes when you come down, like the first few years I went to Mallorca, I was like, after a few days, I was like devastated. I couldn't do anything. I had no energy. I was sad. And then I tried this salt drink, just the one you described. And when I drank it, it was like energy started flowing into my cells, in all over my body. So it's very
electrolytes.
Electrolytes. Yes. Love them. Yeah.
They're blingy.
I'm sure there are many other questions and good advices. And under this pod, please write a comment of your best tips or advices. Or if you have a question or for a situation or something, ask it and we'll try to answer.
Yes. Fantastic. Have a great day.
Yeah, but the same to you, Hannah.
And I will speak to you next week.
Yes. We will do that.
Fantastic.
Have a nice day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.